morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just a question. We don't have a minute for mission, I don't think, today. Do we? I think that's left over from last week. Okay, just want to make sure. Congregation meeting will be held today after worship. Reports of the budget are on the back table. And to, as a reminder, we'll be voting on officers if they're being presented today. And you'll be presented the congregational budget, but not for approval, but you will be voting on the pastor's call. And it's been changed around a little bit this year. So just to make you aware of that. Patty Hall will be having the children's sermon next Sunday. We've been having a good response from the congregation presenting these and you enjoying them from different persons. Deacons, Thanksgiving lunch, you can sign up for a table in the back if you're going to make something, or you can come down and clean up or set up whatever it might be, or make an item. There should be a sign up sheet at the back. And cookies, we need cookies for the annual cookie walk. It's a big fundraiser for our church, and the community really looks forward to it. And we have, if you want to make your cookies early and bring them down, someone has donated a freezer to put the cookies in for it, so you don't have to wait to the last minute. Sign-up sheet for the Christmas poinsettias on the back table in the back. Also a sign-up sheet for the Advent readers, whether it's a person or a couple of people do it together, or a whole family. Decorate the church Saturday, November the 29th at 9 a.m. Scripture readers, you can sign up for that, and teachers are still needed for junior church, and you can see B.J. Morrison or Heather Perman are called. And Thanksgiving Food Challenge, they're collecting, you can read about that. The deacons will be meeting this Wednesday evening. It's a little different for them, at 7 o'clock p.m. in the library. That's Thanksgiving Day prep. Let me see something. Okay, that's good. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn this morning is Here I Am to Worship. It's a screen song.
Open my eyes, let me see.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We praise you for blessing us in so many ways. Forgive us when we do not use our talents and gifts for your glory. Help us with our faith. Show us how to minister in your name.
Remind us to be loving towards others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we close our eyes and bow our heads for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again reaffirm our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Little announcement, I forgot to make this, but I hope you can come out and join us for our annual stewardship luncheon next Sunday. It's going to be different from what it's been in the past years with spaghetti. The session, five of them, I think, are making chili. So we're going to have chili, and we're going to have soup. We're going to have cornbread and rolls and salad, dessert, beverages, and it's all free. You just come over. You don't have to do any work, and it'll all be done for you. So I hope that you can come out. And if you've not filled out your estimate of giving, thank you. I just told the choir, I woke up this morning not knowing what world I was in. And they come in and, what's different? So, but a little discombobulated this morning. So I hope that you can come out for that.
Still.
Our responsive reading is dedicated service on 674 in the back of your hymnals. 674, dedicated service. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him.
For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited.
Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
This time I call the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a couple prayer requests here. The first one is from Mary Slover for her sister-in-law, Gwen, for the economic problems that they may be resolved. And also from Shawnee for Bill. Bill is ill, and please pray for him and also for his finals this week. And then we have a praise request from Kathy Sagi for Jim Eichner. He's officially retired. May God be with you as you start a new chapter of your life. Thank you for all your years of service.
I'll add a couple. Kathy Sagi tomorrow is going in for an endoscopic procedure. And Tina Cognate, I'm saying that right, is going in for surgery tomorrow. So that's been prayer for them also. And let's lift up our church, the Thanksgiving meal that's coming up, and everything that we're trying to do as a congregation for Christ. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this day. You've blessed us with gifts and talents, homes, automobiles, our wonderful church, family and friends, what we believe is the greatest nation on the face of this earth that has ever been. We ask for your blessings again this day and for the rest of our lives, that you touch us, that you lift us up and empower us with your Holy Spirit, that we are able to increase our faith, to have a better understanding of the scriptures, a better understanding of one another. Lead us and guide us in all that we do. We lift up our church to you. Use us, call us, show us the way. And we lift up everyone that has been mentioned today or listed in the valley or a bulletin or those silent requests that we may have for our own lives or for a family member. We bring these prayer requests and these praise reports to you, thanking you that you hear our prayers and you respond according to your great wisdom and power and might and love. Thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation, Take My Life and Let It Be, 379.
Take my life.
the word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day and all the gifts that you pour down from heaven, inspiring us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that we have in this life. The Bible teaches that you own the cattle upon a thousand hills. Everything in this world belongs to you. Thank you for letting us be stewards and share with you. Lord, bless everyone who gives, for their time, their talents, their energies, their money, their kindness, their love, their devotion. Bless them this day and forevermore. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have a scripture reader this morning. If I didn't have the right words on the screen when you're singing, did I mess up the PowerPoint, the song? I apologize.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. It's the parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man had received 5 bags of gold, went at once, and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one that had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained you 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came forward. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained you 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the reading this morning.
Thank you. Many of you have seen the movie Shrek. You may remember Eddie Murphy as the very mouthy, arrogant, and tactless donkey who can't shut his mouth up to save his life. In one scene, Shrek travels to rescue Princess Fiona while Donkey tags along with him. While Princess Fiona is trapped in a castle surrounded by boiling lava, Shrek and Donkey cross a wobbly, unstable bridge, and Donkey, out of fear, wants to turn around. In great trepidation, Donkey yells, "I'm not going." Shrek replies, "Well, you're already halfway." And Donkey responds, "Yeah, but I know that that half is safe." Some of us, I think, can relate to Donkey. We want to be on the half of the bridge that we are absolutely certain is safe. The scripture today is one of Jesus' best-known parables and probably one of his most misunderstood. Three men are entrusted with bags of gold. Two of them put their bags of gold to work and double their gold. The third man is more timid. He doesn't like taking risks. He is more afraid of failing than he is excited about the possibility of succeeding. He buried his bag of gold in the ground. Part of this man's problem was his view of his master's character. He defends his inaction in increasing his master's wealth. He says, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man, investing where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid the gold in the ground." Now let's imagine for a minute that this master represents God. Think about that for a moment. How many of you regard God in that way? "Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting we have not sown and gathering we have not scattered seed, so I was afraid." How many of you grew up being afraid of God? Afraid of God's judgment, afraid of God's wrath. Haven't you heard the good news? God loves you, and all God desires for your life is the best. I think that many of us, like the little girl who came running into the house one morning sobbing, and her mother asked, "What's wrong?" And throwing herself into her mother's arms, the little girl cried, "God doesn't love me anymore." The mother said, "That's just not true. God loves you more than you can ever imagine or know." "No, he doesn't," the child sobbed. "I know he doesn't love me because I tried the daisy petals. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not." We all grew up playing that. But some people have a God that to them is just that fickle. If things go our way, then God must be with us. God must be blessing us. But if something is negative in our life, whether it's our health or relationship, whatever it might be, then we automatically assume that God is against us and God doesn't care about what happens to us. And we get that attitude, "He loves me, he loves me not." God's love is nothing like that children's game. God's love never fails, and you can always count on God's love. Much of our attitude towards God is a result of our upbringing. It's a well-known fact that our first attitude towards God is a reflection of our family's beliefs. For example, George Bernard Shaw, the great English playwright and philosopher, had great difficulty with God because his father was a scoundrel. He was an absentee father and spent most of his time out playing cricket and staying in pubs drinking. And it was difficult for him to separate his feelings about his father from his feelings about the Heavenly Father. C.S. Lewis, who with his writings continues to inspire Christians today, struggled to overcome the imprint left by his father, a harsh man who would quote Cicero to his children when he was scolding and fussing at them. When his mother died, Lewis said it felt like Atlantis had broken off and fallen away and left him stranded on a little tiny island by himself. And after studying at a public school led by a very cruel headmaster who was later certified insane and committed to a mental institution, Lewis had to overcome the impact of those male figures to find out a way to love his Heavenly Father. I think some of us can relate to that. Some of us are unable to fully accept God's unconditional love in our lives because we've never experienced that kind of love, that unconditional love, even at home. Yet the one constant in this world is that God loves you. Even if your current circumstances are not all that great, do not let go of that truth. Hold on to it, that God does love you. See, God has made an investment in you. That's the meaning, I think, of this parable. which has generally been known as the parable of the talents, that is based on the rendering from the King James Version. But that was confusing to many people because of the way we use the word talents nowadays. It's important to understand that Christ isn't just saying to us that God has given us certain talents that he wants us to use for his glory. That is certainly true, but it's even more than that. Everything that we are, everything that we have, our opportunities, our energy, our intelligence, our relationship, all this, everything in life that has any meaning to us comes from God. Our financial resources, everything is a gift from God. And life is not to be squandered. Neither are we to hide our light under a bushel. We need, as Christians, to live bold, creative, chance-taking lives in the knowledge that we're God's children and God's favor rests upon each and every one of us. In the little devotional book, Good Night God, there's an interesting story about a father who decided to take his young daughter on a walk one evening, or one day turning into evening, on a country road. See, the family lived in a large city, and they were visiting family members somewhere out in a real remote rural area. The father could hardly wait to see how his daughter would respond to a star-filled sky. She'd never seen one because of the lights of the city. At first, his daughter was playful, exploring the flowers and insects along the edge of the dirt road. And as dusk began to turn into darkness and into night, she became a little fearful and clung even closer to her father, holding his hands. She seemed so grateful for the flashlight that he had brought along. And suddenly, though, she looked towards the sky and exclaimed with great surprise, "Daddy, someone drew dots all over the sky." And if we connect them all, they will make a picture. The night sky had taken on the quality of a dot-to-dot puzzle for this daughter. "No," he replied to the daughter, "the dots are there for another purpose. Each dot is hope that God has given to you. God loves you so much that he has lots of hopes that your life will be filled with good things. And in fact, there are more hopes than you or I could ever count." The little girl yelled, "I knew it. The dots are there to make a picture." And then she added more thoughtfully, "I always wondered what hope looked like." The steward who dug a hole in and buried the bag that was entrusted to him with gold had a misunderstanding of his master's character. He saw his master as cruel and vindictive. Maybe you and I do also. But God is not a cruel judge who watches to bring us and catch us doing something wrong and to punish us. God is a loving parent watching out to cheer us on, hoping to see us make our life count for something wonderful, for something beautiful. Today is a good day to begin investing your life in something that will make a real difference in your life and in the life of others, and maybe the life of our planet. If you are one who's been burying your gold in the ground, now, today, is a good time to begin investing your life in something bigger than you. Canadian writer and teacher Martin Rutt is passionate about bringing what he calls heaven on earth. Think about that for a moment. What would heaven on earth be like to you if it really happened here on this earth? It's a very lofty dream. But Rutt believes it's possible. He conducts workshops where he helps people visualize what heaven on earth would be like. He begins with a question to the group. Tell me a time when you in your personal life experienced heaven on earth. Then he moves to a second question. He says, I'm going to pick up a pen, and I want you to imagine that this pen is a magic wand, and if you waved it, you could bring about heaven on earth. So what is heaven on earth to you if you could do that? And the participants describe their visions of heaven on earth. For some, it's the end of poverty, which would be a wonderful thing. For others, it's the absence of war and violence and hunger. Then Martin moves to the third question. What simple, easy, concrete steps will you take in the next 24 hours to help move that vision of heaven on earth forward? The results of these sessions have sometimes just been absolutely amazing for the people participating. A woman in one workshop was really, really bothered by homelessness in the world. But what could she do? She was a real estate agent who worked 80 hours a week. And he told her, okay, Brenda, what do you think you can do? A little light bulb, he said, you could almost see it go off in her expression and her face. She went back to her agency, sat down with the fellow agents, and she said, look, I would like to do something to end homelessness in the world. I want to create a home for everyone in the world. And I need your help. When you sell a home, or when you sell a property, will you commit to give $100 to this fund? Today, this real estate agency has raised more than $50,000 to combat homelessness. They just launched a contest on their website asking people of the community to come up with ideas of their own. A real estate agent wanting heaven on earth has begun, at least with regard to the one social problem in that one corner of the world. Somebody taking it seriously and wanting to do something to help others. Martin Rutt is trying to bring about heaven on earth. Jesus gave his life for that same purpose. He called it the kingdom of heaven. And he calls his followers to invest their lives in that kingdom. We need to try to bring as much kingdom of heaven here on earth. I know it won't compare to the kingdom of heaven when we die and go to that magnificent place. But he calls each of us, all of his followers, to invest our lives in doing what we can to bring it about. God has given us all the opportunities and resources we will ever need. And some of you are saying, no, well, I don't have the resources. I can't do anything. I can't serve anywhere. I'm a nobody. Well, that's not the way God looks at it. And every little thing that you do and that we can do as a church helps someone's lives and helps bring about a little bit of heaven and earth into their lives. He asks us this question: what simple, easy, concrete steps will you take in the next 24 hours to move heaven on earth forward? God loves you. God has made an enormous investment in you by giving his son Jesus to die at Calvary for your sins, so that you can have the abundant life here on earth and the promise of life in heaven with him. So God wants you to invest your life in something wonderful, something beautiful, something helpful. Or will you be like so many people, like this third one? Take what you've got, all your talents, all your gifts, all your monies, everything, and will you just bury it in a hole in the ground and leave it? That's up to you. That's a decision you have to make in your life. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 29, Glorify Thy Name. And that's what we're here for.
you prepare today to leave this sanctuary, go back to your home, your places of employment, to your community, to your friends. May you go knowing that God loves you. God believes in you. God has invested in you. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.